On my attic, my name's Mark from the Capital area. Welcome to the mothership. Through doing World Services, when I became an RD of the region, about 5 years, I was an alternate, so I went out there with the RD to California, and I had met a lot of guys who have come to Martin Lichtner in the past, but and one was a H&I chair and chair now the World Board, some people that I had met. So I was introduced to this guy, and they introduced me to him as Yo Steve, and I said, "What the Yo Steve?" So then we talked, and we kind of hit it off right away. I had the pleasure of going to his home group, which they called R2K, or it was some Recovery 2000, and we jumped off in there, and they had a jazz player, a pianist in there playing the piano, and they had some women in the back cooking food, and this was like an hour before the meeting even started. So they was fellowshipping, they had a before, during, and after. I've had the pleasure of sitting down, breaking bread with his family. I know all of his sponsors. I know his sponsor. I know his grand sponsor, and it's just, like I said, when I go out there, he treats me just like, one of the family. So without further ado, from the west side area of California, I'm going to give you Yo Steve.
My name is Yo Steve, and I'm an addict. The first thing I like to do, man, I like to, Diane's husband. That's Mark, Diane's husband, Mark. He asked me to explain to everybody how I got this name, Yo Steve, And since we're doing something called Unity Through Service, I think I need to share this with you, man, that I got this nickname because I had about 60 days clean. I was at a retreat up in the mountains. And when I got to this fellowship, I couldn't even talk. I stuttered everything. And this was back in the 80s. And one of the things I did was, because I came from the streets, I said, yo, always yo this, yo that, yo everything, And this guy, he asked me to come up and share. And I came up in front to the podium and I got nervous. And I couldn't say my name. And so I said, Yo Steve, and I'm an addict. And what happened was everybody in unison said, alright, y'all got it now, huh? Alright. Now let me tell you what happened from there. I got involved in hospitals and institutions. I went to a lot of, I went from the bottom, starting off in treatment centers, going into the institutions, going into the jails, going into the penitentiaries. And everywhere I went, I shared to the addicts who couldn't get out to regular meetings. And one thing I left with them, that when they got out, if you go to a meeting of Narcotics Anonymous, and all you gotta say is yo, they'll find me. And you know what has happened, man, is throughout the years of recovery, man, there's been people, man, that then came out of the penitentiary, man, and they just stayed clean, and they call me, and they find me, and they still call me Yo Steve, man, and I have gotten so many gifts, man, by being able to maintain this nickname, Yo Steve. See, I don't never always share that, but as I was thinking about it, man, it's only happened through service, and through that service process, man, I've been able to have unity throughout this country, with other addicts. It's really a privilege and an honor to be able to be asked to come and share at Martin Lichtner 17. Something that's very dear to me is service and recovery. If you're a service junkie, congratulations. You know what I mean? Because there's only a few people that will do this thing called service. I didn't see a lot of people stand up for over 15 years. I don't know about none of y'all. I didn't see them just jumping up, hey, you know what I mean? I saw y'all throwing napkins at the newcomers. I wish we threw napkins at the old timers. You know? Hit them upside the head. Because if you're not going to be a service man, you're going to lose this thing. You know? Some of you may disagree. Some of you may agree. But I believe the way we keep this thing is by giving it back and giving it back to the newcomer. I believe in the process, man, of us touching another addict, man, they stay clean. I'm going to get into my story, man, but I just want to kind of just touch on a couple of things here. I have some real good friends, man, here. I'm from the West Coast. There's sunshine every day, you know. It is cold here, I understand, Bob, it is cold, you know. My friend Jimmy Jam from Hollywood is here, and he just follows me all over the country everywhere I go, and he's a service of this fellowship called Narcotics Anonymous. First time you ever seen snow. And people was like, called some people in Baltimore, they picked him up at the airport in Baltimore, they took him to Philadelphia, they drove him all around, he's going to share in New Jersey, man, and he's just so fucking excited. You know? And you know, like Mark was sharing, man, like when anybody comes to Los Angeles, they look me up. And I believe, man, that wherever we are in this country, if we be at it, there ain't nothing so important, man, as not to help out another addict when they're in another city that they don't know anybody there. I flew in the other morning and I got here in Philadelphia, man. My friend Chaz was there to pick me up. I was going to rent a car. I damned the car. He said, don't spend no more money, man. Your money don't spend on the East Coast. You know? Hey, man, that's nothing but love. I don't know about none of y'all, man. I look for love in all the wrong places. I found love right here in Narcotics Anonymous. To you addicts. I'd like to give a shout out to my sponsees back in Southern California. I'd like to give a shout out to my daughter, Persia. I'd like to give a shout out, man, to the addict, man, that just can't get it, man, that may hear this tape one day, man, and say, you know what? I'm going to come back and keep coming back because I don't need to go nowhere else but this program called Narcotics Anonymous. Man, I love this interpreter, man. He got on this Hollywood thing and sparkling and shit. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's what the interpreter said. I don't know. All right, I see you back there, you know what I mean? You know, it's a good thing, too. You know, I was hoping he would move up a little bit closer, you know, to the edge. You know, I got to tell you, man, sometimes I get real nervous, you know, before this, but let me tell you what I got to do, man. Every time I get ready to come to the podium, man, I go to the bathroom, I get down on my knees around that linoleum, around that toilet, where I spent so many times before on that toilet. And I get back and I get in touch and I put my head in the toilet and ask my God of my understanding to use me as an instrument. To be able to share something. To take me back to remember where I came from. Now I know there's somebody in this room tonight, man, that don't remember where they came from. And there's somebody in this room tonight, man, that's just aching. You know, I'm here to make the comfortable uncomfortable, and uncomfortable comfortable. You know? I put my head in the toilet, man, and it takes me back, man. It reminds me, man, of how many times, man, my head had been on the side of that cement, man, on the side of that white porcelain, man, and slobber running down my mouth, man, and just couldn't take it no more. It reminds me of the times, man, I can hear the paramedics, man, taking me away, man, in the ambulance saying, we're losing him. We're losing him. And I hear the faint sound. Remind me of the time, man, I took vomit and spit it up, man, and put it into a vial and put some baking soda in it and try to shake it up to get one more rock. Remind me of those times, man, I took that last some cotton balls that I done collected, man, over and over again, man. Put them in a spoon, trying to get one more, only to get a cotton fever. You know? Remind me of them times, man, of crawling around on my hands and knees on the floor, man, putting lint on a pipe to get an illusion. That's what it reminds me of. See, I got to tell you, man, that I've been a victim all my life. I come to Narcotics Anonymous, I'm no longer a victim. I'm only a volunteer. You know? I was born and raised in South Central Los Angeles. I was hearing about this South Central area, and I got a little bit, I felt like I was at home again. You know what I mean? You know? And I'm going to move around up here a little bit sometime because I get excited. You know? I love Narcotics Anonymous. I don't know what you love, but I love Narcotics Anonymous. You know what I'm saying? And when I say I was born and raised in South Central Los Angeles, man, I was born to an addict. I had a mother, man, that was a heroin addict and a prostitute. Had a mother, man, that left me at the babysitter one night and never came back again. And see, I didn't know nothing about that story until I was 3 years clean. They told me that I went from state home, to foster home. And in those days, man, what happened is that if you was like an abandoned child or went to one of these places, man, then you got paid monthly. And these parents picked me up, man, from this foster home. They eventually adopted me when I was about 5 or 6 years old, man. It happened to be a black family. And for 30-something years, man, I tried to prove I was black. You know. And the reason why I say that, man, is because I know we come up in these rooms, man, and we're looking for trying to find identification, at least I did. You know, even though I might have stopped using, I still came in these rooms looking for identification. I wanted to belong so bad. I wanted to be a part of something so bad. My color wasn't right. My nationality wasn't right. My financial situation wasn't right. My education wasn't right. I always thought there was something wrong with me. I always thought I had two left feet. I always thought I just did not feel a part of nothing. That's why when I see disunity in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, I get upset. You know, I get upset when we start separating in these rooms, man, and start saying, well, that area over there and this group over here and this, all that kind of madness. Thank you. And I get upset, man, because I've been looking to try to belong somewhere for many, many years. And when y'all said, man, it doesn't matter where I come from, who my connection was, what color I was, what nationality I was, what my sexual preferences were, and it didn't matter, we only want to know what you want to do about your problem. When y'all said that, man, I felt I was home. Even though after the years of keep coming back, man, I still feel like I'm at home here. And I'm one of those addicts, man, it doesn't matter. I get right in the middle of y'all. I don't think you got any private conversations from me. You know? I don't think that you got anything slick going on that I ain't heard before. You know? I'm glad they got young people coming in because they keep me up on stuff. You know? They be telling me about, you know, all the stuff that they got going on now, like ecstasy and what they do with that stuff. You know? They be filling me in. You know? Because I don't think we need to separate ourselves. And see, this is the greatest thing about being at this podium. I get to say what my opinion is. You know? And it's okay. You don't have to take it on, but if you keep coming back, you'll take on something. You know? I believe what you really need to take on is take on the 12 steps of this fellowship. The program works perfectly. The fellowship does not work perfectly. We're only humans here. This is not perfect anonymous. This is Narcotics Anonymous. You know? And we need to be always in touch with that. I'm also a recovering Catholic. You know, I had one of them punishing guys. You know, I happened to be in a group meeting in Philly, and it was talking about God awareness before I came down here. And you know, and every time I hear that, and we hear it in these rooms, man, and I really truly believe in the steps. I believe in the second step is one of the most powerful steps in this recovery process. I believe when we talk about coming to believe in a power greater than ourselves could restore sanity. That the insanity of being out there in the streets, the insanity of what I just shared with you guys about being in the toilet, the insanity that we go through on a daily basis, Even in recovery, even after getting clean time, even after being here some years, after being a service, after sponsorship, the insanity after marriages, after everything that happens in this process, they come and leave in a power. And I think what happens to this addict, that constantly I'm taking my power back. You know? And I forget real easy. I get amnesia overnight. See, it's real cool up in these meetings when all y'all is around me, but when I walk out the door, man, that disease is on me. And I think it learns this language of recovery with justification, rationalization, you know. And what has happened for me, man, is that over the years, man, I've had a concept of change, you know. And in the second step, man, it was talked about I wasn't the power. And I got to tell you, man, I didn't meet God until I got to the third step. Second step doesn't talk about God. It only talks about a power greater than me, and I ain't the power. You know? So I say that, man, to say this. You don't have to put your opinion on me about a God of my understanding. When you say a God of your understanding, it's your God of your understanding. So important, man. We run too many people out of the rooms, man, with all this stuff. You know, I don't know why I'm going there, because I prayed before I came up here to ask God to use me as an instrument. Thank you, brother. Love you, too. But I have to say, man, that what happens, man, is that after I done kept coming back now long enough, man, the drugs are not what I use. I suffer from a disease of cunning, baffling, powerful disease, a very, very patient disease, a disease that will wait on your ass. It don't care how much clean time you get up in these rooms. You know? It don't care how sharp you are if you're driving a BMW out there, a Volkswagen. It don't care. It don't care if you got the house on the hill or the big fine leg woman or the good credit. It don't care. It wants you to get all that shit. It does not want you to be happy. The disease of addiction. The disease I know. We put more emphasis on this disease. We'll understand how addiction really is. I don't know about you. We get caught up in the using thing. They say just don't use it. You make 90 meetings in 90 days, get you a sponsor, and just keep coming back. Why would you go anywhere else? Why would you put poison constantly in your system? Don't you hear what it's called? It's called dope. Dope is for dope. Dope. You ain't got to use no more once you have stood up in these rooms and say you're an addict. This is a disease, man, that wants you dead. It wants you 6 feet in the ground. It's a disease that don't care. A disease that wants you unhappy. It wants you insane, even in recovery. Now, I'm getting ready to talk about me. Because I think if you're sitting up in these rooms here, I can identify with every kind of drug there is. Yeah, I've been to Vietnam. And if you've been to Vietnam and you're a Vietnam vet, I'd like to welcome you home. You know? I didn't hear that until I came back to these rooms. A friend of mine was killed in Vietnam, man, and I thought it was my fault. See, I always thought it was my fault. I thought because I was born, it was my fault. See, I got mad at you when you talked about your mother in these rooms. I wanted to use. I got mad when you talked about your father. Because I didn't have one I wanted to use. See? I always looked for reasons to be angry. And I didn't know that I needed to do some work on me. I can articulate and read steps and act like I know steps and go to a sponsor and write steps and everything. But to take the steps, to internalize the steps, to utilize the steps, to work on something on me, to make me a better person, to make me a gentleman, I wasn't about that. I wasn't about that. I was looking for you to take care of me so I can blame you when I fucked up. I wanted you to tell me how to do it, how to make it better. I want to have a reason to blame. I don't know. I blamed all my life. You know, I wanted slicksters on the streets. I came back from Vietnam. I wanted to be Iceberg Slim. I wanted to be a super fly. tell you a little story. I even wanted to have a cool. I always wanted to be hip, slick, and cool. I ain't gonna lie to you. I always wanted to be, you see how I try to stand up here now. I'm trying to be cool now. But the fact is, thank you, Cassie. Cassie, I am cool. Give me a hand for being cool, you know? My man. But I came back, and this is how crazy I was, man. I came back from Vietnam, right? And I wanted a Cadillac. I wanted to be a Superfly. And this is how crazy I was, man. Always looking at the outsides. And I say this, man, to share this with you, man, because my disease suffered from ego. My disease wants to look at the outsides. My disease wants me to have everything looking good on the outside and never really looking at the inside or nothing. I used to buy cars, man, that looked good on the outside and the engine didn't work, you know? I had this Cadillac Eldorado convertible, man, and they was down on the block, and I drove it up. It was smoking, and I pushed it up there, man, and the car went dead, and I got out and just started shining it, and the top went back and forth. Looked good, but the darn thing didn't run, you know? And that's how I live my life, always looking at the outside. It wasn't until I came into this thing, man, called Narcotics Anonymous. It wasn't until I was able to surrender to my disease. It wasn't until I was able to start working on me that I was able to get some relief from them outsiders. I don't know, man. I just tell you about this last day, and I'm going to get into some other things I need to talk about. I ended up on downtown Los Angeles on Skid Row on 5th and San Julian. It's the homeless area of downtown Los Angeles at about 36 years of age. And when I ended up down there, everybody had, it was like Cardboard City, you know, everybody had a cardboard box. I didn't have one. I used somebody else's because I never wanted to admit that I had that problem. You know? And this guy, only way he'll let me come in and hang out because I would bring him a little something-something, you know? And every time I would go hang out, when it was gone, he said, you had to get out and go get something else going on. And I'd end up running around town because I thought I was some OG or something because I'd been to jail about 20, 30 times, and I never had to do any prison time, but I was going in and out of jail all the time because I was a menace to society. I was always one of those ankle-biting that was always around the situation. And I always looked like I was the perpetrator, you know? Perpetrator, rather, you know? But I would talk big game if I went to jail for a few days. I would talk like I'd been in jail for 10 years. And I'm telling you about me, you know? And what ended up happening, I ended up in one of these dope houses, man, because I was down there pumping gas, and I would go to this dope house every other day and act like, because I had this broken 357 Magnum I used to keep, right? Because I wanted to look bad, you know what I mean? I kept it in my waistband, right? it's funny now. It wasn't funny then, you all right? Yeah. So I was off in this dope house, man. I've been up in there for 7-8 days. And dope man came in the house, man. He's a youngster, man. He came through an 8-track on the table. And the ladies of the night rushed the table. And I've been sitting around there picking up lint off the floor and asking everybody for a kibble, a bit. You know, getting frustrated and everything by now. You know, getting mad, getting angry inside, getting upset, feeling guilt and shame, just feeling just terrible about myself, you know. And, you know, the dude came in and dropped some rocks on the table, and the girls rushed the table and everything. And I said, well, this is a good chance for me to, because I was holding this gun, you know, in case somebody came out and gave me this gun, they might give me, you know, a little bit of something, something, especially if somebody had something. Well, what happened was I asked the dude, well, you know, can I get a little bit of that? He said, oh, get out of here, you old burnout old dope fiend. You know, and I think I was feeling real terrible, man, because I dropped down to 150 pounds, my face was sunk in, my hair was down on my back, I looked like who did it and what for, and please don't do it again. You know, I smelled like that too, you know. And what happened, man, is that the dude dropped the rocks on the table, man, and I rushed the table, man, and I felt this gun, man, and I pulled this gun out, man, and I was going to give it to the dude, man, and in the process of bringing it out, I pointed it at him. His hands went up, everybody else's hands went up. I said, don't nobody move. Don't nobody move, man. Hey, you come here, hold this pipe while I smoke this stuff, man. And while I held a gun on everybody, I was smoking this stuff, right? And at the end of when the smoke was going through the pizzipe and everything, and at the last end of it, man, I said, damn, it's a broken gun, man. This fool gonna kill me behind this stuff, man. And I don't know about none of y'all that have been through those desperation moments. The moments of desperation. The moments of nowhere else to turn. Just trying to get one more. Doing anything, man, just to get that last one because we don't want to feel down here anymore. I don't know how many of y'all have been through that. But for me, that was at the end of my road. You know, what I did, man, is I got sidetracked and pretended like I had dope outside, and I told him, don't move, don't nobody come outside. I got some dope outside. If you come out, stick your head out the door, man, I'm going to blow your brains out. I got outside, and I took off. And I ran all the way to the VA hospital. You know, and I got to the VA hospital, man, and because I saw somebody had some dope in a flyer saying that we'll do something for you if you got a dope problem, right? So I got to the VA, and I went into the VA, man, and I was running, I was scared, I was sweating and everything, man, and I thought these fools were on my back. I thought everybody was chasing me. I was paranoid and everything. And I got up in the place, man, and I went up to the nurse's station, man, and I said, look, I got a small cocaine problem. I need somewhere to sleep tonight, you know? You know, just a small one, you know? And the lady said, well, you got to go through admissions, and we got to go do this evaluation and everything. But I said, look, I just got a small cocaine problem. Just tonight, let me sleep here. I said, no, you had to go out. And during that time, there was veterans, man, that was trying to get paid for Agent Orange. And he had these little tents out all over the VA hospital out in the yard. And I went out into the yard, man. There was this dude. I heard this Jimi Hendrix music in the background. There was this dude, man, who was still looking for income. He was ducking and dodging and everything. And I identified, you know what I mean? It was like he was over there, and he said, look out, they're coming in. I said, yeah, I see them, man. You know, so I'm looking for somewhere to hang out because I don't want to go off the yard. I don't want to run. I just want to stay there because I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. You know what I mean? I'm at that point. I'm at that breaking point. And I still ain't admitting that I got a serious problem yet. I'm still in denial of what this disease is doing to me. I'm still thinking because I'm an OG, all I need is another sack and I can come up again. You know? I just think I'm having a little bad luck right now. I've been having bad luck for the last 10 years. Ain't getting nothing but kibbles and bits for that period of time. I ain't been high since Doomsday. You know what I mean? So that was the reality that was setting in. And I got in this guy's tent. And hear how desperate I was. He was sitting up there smoking a reefer, and I thought he was smoking real weed, and he gave it to me, and I hit it, and I said, what is this? He said, it's grass. I said, grass? And he showed me the box that was grass out of the ground, you know? And see, at this time in my life, man, I didn't really care, you know what I mean? I wasn't going to rock the boat at all. I said, give it here, and I kept smoking it, you know? Well, after 3 or 4 days of this bullshit, I got desperate. You know how when you get anxiety driven around this program, when you think you got to do something, when your sponsor tell you that right now you don't do nothing when you don't know what to do, but you think you just got to do something? Like, well, I got to do a step, I got to go here, I got to do this, I got to do that, that we got to do something, that anxiety comes up. And this is what happened to me. I'm sitting up here in this makeshift tent, and my anxiety comes up. And I said, wow, what do I do now? So I saw this little bag, paper bag, I saw a soda pop bottle, I put the soda pop bottle in the paper bag, I went into the VA hospital, I looked around and I spotted the security guard. I said, I got a bomb. I got a big dope problem. I'm going to blow this over gun up to somebody do something in a hurry. And you know, they accommodated me, you know. They strapped me down on all fours, put me on a gurney, rushed me into the crazy house, man, shot me up with some Thorazine. And you know what? Before I went out, man, I got to tell you, man, this doctor put his hand on my forehead, man, and he told me, you're going to be all right. You know what? And for the first time in my life, and I got to tell you, man, I went through some madness. I don't give a damn how many times I come to these podiums, how many times I do four steps, how many times I call my sponsor. You'll never know what I went through to get here to Narcotics Anonymous. You know? Only me and my God know that. And what happened, man, is that in that process, in that moment, man, in that moment of clarity, man, when that man put his hand on my forehead, I felt a sense of warmth. I felt a sense that, you know what, I'm going to be all right. I felt some caring at one time for the first time in my life. And I remember all them ambulances and all them ODs and all that shit and all them gunfights at the OK Corral and all that kind of stuff that I've been through, man. And I don't need to get graphic, because if you're sitting up in these rooms, you got a story too. You know? You know what you went through to get here. And the reality, why would you go anywhere else? You know, that's where the reality is. You know? You know, so what happened, man, is that they put me up in this 3-day observation thing, and I was out, and the next thing I know, I'm sitting up in a recovery home, a treatment center. You know, detox. And you know, as cold as this disease is, this is a disease to tell you don't have a disease. This is a disease that sets you up. This disease that just says, well, you know what, that's their problem, this ain't your problem. You know, 13 days sitting up in this treatment center, man. I got some giveaway clothes. I got some. I got a haircut. I wash my ass with some soap. You know, I'm brushing my teeth regularly now. I'm eating food daily. I'm starting to pick up some weight. I ain't got no problem. Ain't nothing wrong with me. That's the rest of these people's problem. You know, and the disease of addiction told me. And you know what? They got another fellowship that they're up here talking about, and that ain't my problem either, because they got liquor stores on every corner. You know? So I couldn't identify, because I heard the first step saying I was powerless over dope right now, and that's the only reason my life is unmanageable. So what I did, man, is I ended up telling the counselor, I said, I'm leaving this son of a gun. You know? Because y'all can't do nothing for me. And what the counselor told me, he said, look, I got a panel coming in here from Narcotics Anonymous tonight, and before you leave, why don't you go to this panel and listen to the speaker? And you know, and I didn't hear panel. I didn't hear Anonymous. I heard Narcotics. And my thinking told me that I could go to this panel and I'll know somebody on the panel that will give me some narcotics, and I can go back out there and get it going on again. Because that's all I was really looking for, was another sack. Because this wasn't for me. It wasn't all you jolly people and all that other good horse stuff going on around here. Y'all talking about some steps. I ain't seen no step yet. Talking about happy, joyous, and free, and I ain't happy about nothing. 36 years old, and I ain't got nothing to piss in yet. You know? So I need some money. And I went to this panel, man, and I heard my story. Now, see, I don't know. And see, we keep coming back around here, man, and we keep doing inventories, and we keep doing research on ourselves, man. We keep with our sponsors. We keep hearing people share around this process. We hear our story. And I have never, that panel was there that night, and that guy told my story, and I have never, never, never seen that addict again. But that man told my story. And at the end of him telling my story, man, is that he looked kind of like me. And I knew I was adopted. And I went up to him because he had so many similarities like me, I just figured he was my long-lost brother or somebody. And that's how I think. How could he know all this about me? So I slid up to him after the meeting, after everybody else left the room, and I said, say, check this out, man. What's your last name? Because you might be, you know, maybe one of my long-lost relatives and everything. And he did one of those little smirking type of things, and he said, you know, my last name is Attic, and keep coming back. So I got my first resentment in recovery, you know what I mean? So, you know, so I found out very early around here is that you don't give resentments, you give resentments, you know? If you give resentments around here, they're the ones that got to carry it, you don't, you just get it off of you, you know? But from, he said, I got angry and I got mad, I went back to the room and I'm leaving here and I'm waiting for somebody to grab me and say, please don't leave and all that other kind of stuff, because I really didn't want to go nowhere, you know? And finally, an addict slipped to me and said, you're a fool if you leave. And quite naturally, I gave him the finger. And another guy told me, man, well, why don't you go to a meeting with us? I said, for what? He said, just come on, go to a meeting with us. So we was going off the grounds. So I go off the grounds and go to the meeting, man, and at the meeting, man, that they was doing some kind of basic text study, man. It was doing a basic text study, and it was talking about the serenity prayer. And the guy was sharing about the serenity prayer, and he said, God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. He said, I can't change people, places, and things. He said, give me some courage to change myself. For the first time, man, you know, I was thinking about that, man, way back then. You know, courage to change myself. See, I never wanted to change. I was always trying to be somebody for you. I was always wanting you to accept me. I was always thinking you was the problem. You know? I always wanted you to do what I wanted you to do. I didn't have no courage, man, to try to change me, to try to do something for me, to try to stop putting the poison in my system, to start trying to be more responsible in my life. I never wanted to do nothing for me. And he said the key thing, man, in this whole thing, man, I believe it today and I believe it now and I always believe it and I share it with my sponsees, you know. Give me the wisdom to know the difference between the disease of addiction and recovery. You know? And you know, just that little bit of thing that we say when we gather up and we get this energy together and we talk about that, man, is so, so important. Is that I'm in search of the wisdom. I'm seeking the wisdom to know the difference between the disease and recovery. And I gotta tell you, with 14 and a half years clean, I'm still having a problem. You know? That's why I have to keep coming back. I have to keep sitting in these rooms, man. I have to keep sharing with y'all. I got to keep listening to y'all. I got to keep taking these steps, man. I got to keep talking to a sponsor, man. I got to keep helping the newcomer, man, because I'm searching for the wisdom to know the difference between the disease and recovery. Left to my own devices, I leave out of here recovery, man, and become addict, man, out the door. And when I become addict, man, I ain't hearing nothing. That started my process of recovery in Narcotics Anonymous. That started my process of being able to go ahead and get involved into this program. I got involved in this thing lock, stock, and barrel. I got right in the middle of Narcotics Anonymous. I started going to meetings every day. I started being a service every day. I started talking shit. I started challenging you. I challenged them. I challenged everybody. I went to the World Service Office because I live in California. They say that's my office. I went up in the office and challenged them too. You know? Speaker speaking from the podium and say something, I'm waiting for him to say something that I don't agree with so I can jam him too. I went after this thing. If you're new around this program, go after it. This is your program. You know, this is about you. It's always going to be about you. The only way you get knocked out of this thing is have an attitude of indifference. The people that sit in the back of the room, the people that walk out the room, the people who fold their arms and say, he don't know what he's talking about. Well, get what I got. That's all I tell you, get what I got. I got 14 and a half, challenge that. And I didn't get that by just sitting up in here bullshitting. I still go to a meeting every day of the week. I got 10 sponsees. I'm not trying to brag. I'm just facting with you. You know? I'm still a service. I'm a coffee maker at a meeting. I got a home group. I still go on panels. I ain't on World Services no more, but I still, you know, I still am of service. I'm not into that politics anymore. You know? I'm into the recovery process. I'm in here to be a better person. And I got to share that with you, man. Let me tell you what's been happening with me. And I know I don't have a lot of time, man, so we got to get on to the ask for me to clean it up, man, so we can get to the comedy show. You got to have some fun. That's what it just for today was about. Have fun. Laugh all the time. You know what I mean? Want to smile. We didn't come here to get sad. What are we going to be sad about? This is a celebration. You up in here clean. You should be happy as a lark. Some of y'all gonna dance tonight. If you dance, you might even get lucky. So you know how it goes. Everybody knows what happens at these conventions. You know? I ain't looking to do that, though. I want you to know. You know what I mean? But I'm a firm believer in this. Let me tell you about this part right here. Like I told you, I got involved in this recovery process and the time went on. You know, I got some time around this program, I started spitting on candles. I got 5 years around this program, man, I found myself broke, disgusted, and can't be trusted. 5 years. I got into the fork in the road, man. I'm still caught up in the financial security. I'm a firm believer that people relapse in Narcotics Anonymous, 90% of them relapse behind finance and romance. Take that one to the bank. Got a job? Guess I'll go use. Won the lotto? I think I'll use. Lost my job? I better go use. Can't pay my bills? I think I'll use. My girlfriend left me. Think I'll go use. Fell in love today. Might as well use. Check it. Sponsors that are sponsors, man, and they should be, everybody in here should be a sponsor some way, form, or fashion. You know? You hear it all the time around here. Ain't nobody used because they thought they should use today. They got some kind of problem that they don't want to deal with. And I didn't be coming back long enough to see it's all about finance and romance. You know? How do we deal with that? In the sixth step, they talk about character defects. But first of all, if you don't do no inventory about it, man, you ain't gonna never be able to get it. And then the character defects come out and they show the character defects. My sponsor is a firm believer, man, that those defects of character, and this is what's happening to me. I don't condone anything, man. I gotta tell you what happened to me. 6-7 years around this program, I had them things of financial security around here. I started... They told me if I keep coming back, it's gonna be okay. And one more time, I got myself caught up and went back and put on those comfortable old shoes. And behind that, man, I got my hand slapped. My guy just slapped my hand and got me back into the process. You know? That's a miracle for me. I don't know about none of you, but that's why I'm sitting here, standing here, sharing with you today with 14 and a half years clean. You know? Because I got back in the process and I got started doing things that I was supposed to be doing around this thing. I started helping newcomers again. I got involved. In that process, man, I had a little baby girl. A little baby girl. People didn't heard about this story before. Little baby girl was a premature baby. She wasn't supposed to even be alive. She was born, man, 3 months ahead of time. And I hear this, man, because through this process, man, this is how I believe my mother has come back to me. It's through this little girl. I found something about love through this little girl, man, that's wow, beyond belief. You know? You know, I share this with you, man. The little baby, she's going to be 5 years old on March the 31st, right? She's been the joy of my life, you know? She's been the mother, the love that I always wanted to get. I've been getting through this little girl. Her mother and I are going through a divorce, you know? Relationships don't always work around here, but they do get better if you keep coming back. See, I don't protest to try to be treating myself bad no more. Okay, and I don't believe I need to treat another human being bad either, even mentally. And what has happened, man, that I went through this separation and this divorce, man, I'm going through this divorce and I'm taking responsibility today for my actions. I'm handling my child support. I'm showing up for my child because there was never no one there for me. My child, man, is a joy to see me. She tells me, man, she wakes me up in the morning when she's staying with me on my time to be with my child, man, and rubs my face and tell me, Daddy, your skin is beautiful. I was always looking for some woman to tell me my skin was beautiful. That never happened. She told me and put her arms around me and tell me I love you so much. I talked to her today on the phone before and she said, Daddy, are you going to share tonight? Do a good job. You know? See, these are the things, man, that I was always searching for. I was always searching for this kind of love and caring. She was a star. I was telling Kathy today, man, she was a star at her school, man, and she had to make cupcakes. Well, you know, she and her moms, and you know, I'm a guy of cool and hip stuff, you know? And she had to make these 24 cupcakes. And I ain't never made no cupcakes. I went to the store with her, man. We got the little cupcake tray thing, man. Bought the box of dough and got all the icing and the sprinkles and shit. And I made cupcakes. I didn't ask nobody. I didn't call nobody to come do it for me. I followed the directions on the box. That's what we do in Narcotics Anonymous. Follow the direction in the basic text. That's the direction you need to follow. My friend Jimmy Jam says, man, the basic text is just like this. It works like a parachute. If you don't open it, it don't work. Yeah. Amazing thing, man. Even though I'm going through this divorce and everything, I believe that I don't need to be sorry about nothing. This was a good woman. We both had some, we come in here with baggage. We put the baggage together and we try to work the baggage out, and she done got through hers, I'm working through mine. She's a good person. I'm not mad. Why should I be mad? She done gave me a beautiful daughter, man. You know? You know, and I'm, you know, and what I'm doing today, I just get up, man, I show up, man, I ask my God to see what he wants for me, and something else is in store down the line for me anyway. You know? I'm dating today. And when I say I'm dating today, man, I ain't dating just to get something. You know? I'm dating to be a gentleman. In the true sense of the word, gentleman. Because that's what I want to be. I always want to be a gentleman. I don't want to be a hip-slicking cooler. You know, I'm dating and I'm going to the show and I'm holding hands and I'm talking on the phone and we ain't doing no something. You know? And I'm respecting the other person. That's what y'all showed me how to do. I'm just now starting to learn how to practice it. That's what's beautiful about this process. You know, I got a lot of other problems that came up, man, I done had. And I'm just sharing this for you before I shut up. I done had IRS problems. I done had old child support. I got a son, man, of, you know, I got a son from another marriage. And I'm dealing with all that stuff. I'm showing up. I ain't running from it. Why am I going to run? I sit in this room long enough to hear y'all share. There's going to be somebody professionally in here that's going to help me out. See, I believe that. We got to use Narcotics Anonymous. Just not sit up here and get mad at nobody because they're an attorney or an accountant or whatever have you, because you ain't that. Somebody's here to help you if you open your mouth. Closed mouth don't get fed. Believe that. We have situations that didn't happen. All that is in the past. We're talking about living today. Are you about living? Are you about loving? Are you about caring? Are you about sharing? That's what this is about. We don't have to beat ourselves up no more. Them days is over. Them days is over. This is all about where we're going tomorrow. You know, just for today, release the burden of the past and the fear of the future. You know? The process works. I believe the 12 steps work, man. I believe the 12 steps gives you a program. The 12 traditions gives you a fellowship, man. The concepts keep you in line with service, you know. I believe, man, there's a whole bunch of things I'd like to say, but without time permitting, man, I'd like to leave y'all with something, man. I was in Kansas City, man, a few years back, man, and I was at the Holiday Inn. And this is how it was for me, and I was getting ready to share. And every time I get ready to speak, man, it's so emotionally draining, man. If you ever understand, I got to share this with you, too. If you got old-timers around you, man, give the old-timer a hug, too, man. Don't just give the newcomer a hug. Give the old-timer a hug, you know? We get lonely, too. You know? We need your love, too. We need you to pull us up, too. You know? The old timer man gets up in here, man, he sits over by himself, everybody's all excited about the newcomer, the old timer leave, he go home, man, and he still feels lonely. We need love too, y'all. I say that because I finally got some time around here because I kept coming back. You know? But like I said, I was in Kansas City getting ready to speak. Place was decorated up like the Wizard of Oz. It was Toto and the Yellow Brick Road and Tin Man and Scarecrow and everything, man. And, wow, man. I was sitting there, man. I was nervous and I was
And all of a sudden, I started crying. Tears started rolling down my eyes, man, like big old crocodile tears. And it dawned on me, man. Just like the scarecrow, man, I lost my brain behind using drugs. Just like the tin man, I lost my heart behind using drugs. Just like the lion, I lost my courage behind using drugs. Just like Dorothy, man, I've always wanted to go home. I found home here in Narcotics Anonymous. So won't you all join me down on the Yellow Brick Road of Recovery? Thanks for letting me share.
Somebody's going to read just for today, and then we have a nice way of closing. Is it burning?